I'd just like you to join with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask you to open your word to us tonight, Lord, and direct us by your Holy Spirit. Sow into our hearts with understanding the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And I started thinking about this a couple days ago, and God seated me with some things and some thoughts. And I've entitled this, and I actually got the title for this around 4 o'clock this afternoon. So I had most of the content, but I was like, a title. Getting ready to print, I'm like, okay, I need a title. Lessons from the Field. Lessons from the Field. And we're going to take a look briefly at the book of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Israel was in Babylonian captivity. We've been talking about Egypt and how they were in Egyptian bondage and how God wanted them completely out. He wanted to sever every tie. He wanted to bring them out into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they would be tested and they would be proven. And God was going to reveal to them what was in their hearts. He was going to topple the idols. He was going to teach them how to trust, how to lean on him, how to hear his voice. And so also here we see the same picture of Israel being in Babylonian captivity because of rebellion. How many know that rebellion against God always leads to captivity by the enemy? Amen. God's not here to take away your joy. He wants to give you joy. And he knows that joy comes by hearing, amen, and obeying his word. Joy is a fruit of his love. Walking in God's love means I'm walking, amen, according to his voice, because his word to me, his commandment is to love. When God tells us to do something, he's always telling us because he loves us enough to bring direction to our steps, amen, to our lives, to keep us in line. He knows what's good for us. He made us, and he's smarter than we are. We got to realize that and continue to listen to him day in and day out. So what happens is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he gets this troubling dream, and which none of his magicians, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, which were their fortune tellers, the astrologers, those who were looking to the stars for signs, none of them could tell his dream. And so God raised up Daniel, you know, to reveal himself to the king. How many know that God loved Nebuchadnezzar? You ever think about that? That God loved this king? Sometimes we think, oh, those terrorists or those people over there or that king or that leader or that president, whatever it is. How many know God loves everybody? He loves these people. Amen. We're all his creation. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So God was going to teach Nebuchadnezzar who was boss, because sometimes power corrupts. When people get into positions, they get corrupted. You know, money gives power to people. It also corrupts people if they're not careful. That's why God teaches us how to give. Amen. To be responsible with what we have so we don't get corrupted by it. We don't end up worshiping the thing rather than the God who gave us the thing. So in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to read a few verses here, verse 1 and 2. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. Now, so they came and stood before the king. What did he ask them to do? To tell him what his dream was. Now, can you imagine being one of these dudes that's being called, summoned to the king? He's had a dream. It troubles him. But he's telling you to tell him what the dream was. And so they started to panic. You know, and they're starting to say, well, king, if you just help us out a little bit, give us a little hint. You know, if you tell us the dream, then we could tell you the interpretation. He said, no. I want you to tell me what the dream was, and I want you to give me the interpretation. So they were put on the spot, and it was going to cost them their life if they didn't come up with it. So the king demands that they tell the dream and interpret it. And then verse 5 of chapter 2, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, If you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. So again, now this is where Daniel steps in because they were unable to do this. And this is the dream in this particular area of the scripture where the image was of this head of gold, which represented him, and the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thigh of bronze, the legs of iron, and feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And we know this speaks of kingdoms that we're going to follow, and we're not going to get into that tonight. But in the dream, he saw these things. And so Daniel receives the interpretation in chapter 2, verse 19, in a night vision. And so Daniel was thankful, and he blessed the Lord, because God is the one who revealed it to him. And so as a result of Daniel's interpretation, what did the king do? He actually confessed that the Lord is God, that he's the God of gods. And then what did he do? He promoted Daniel. So God raised up Daniel for such a time. How many know that God raises up every king, right? And God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Amen. And sometimes he will use other kings and kingdoms for disciplinary reasons as well. And there is a sovereign will of God in the earth, folks. God's plan is being worked out. And through all that's happening and through what's been happening through the generations and the ages, God is gleaning a people through all of this, through all the times of past and yet to come. But I do believe that things are coming to a close. The time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And now is the time, the day of salvation, the time to get right with God. Amen. To get your house in order because the king is coming. And we need to be ready to meet Jesus. And he's coming when? In an hour when we think not. And so in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, the king Nebuchadnezzar, it says, fell on his face. Here's a pagan king, okay, that didn't know anything about the true God. He prostrated himself before Daniel. Prostrated himself and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. And the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. And then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. How many know that God can promote you? Amen. And if God promotes you, no man can take it away from you. And after this, the king once again, what did he do? He didn't continue to follow the Lord. He turned away from the Lord again. And the next thing you know, he's commanding that an image of gold be erected. Amen. And that everyone at the sound of the music was going to bow down and worship this idol of gold. This is right after, you know, shortly after he had had this encounter and he had praised the God of heaven and he acknowledged that. And now he's again turning back to idolatry. However, there was three men, remember young men, these Hebrew boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, we're not going to bow down, right, to your idol of gold. And so he got very angry, he became enraged, and he commanded that the fire of the furnace be what? Seven times hotter, and he commanded that they be thrown alive into this fiery furnace. And God intervened. Because they refused to bow. They said, King, you know, we know our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. We know that. Amen. However, they also trusted in God's plan and sovereignty for their lives. But if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down. And so the king had them said, okay, throw them into the furnace. Next thing you know, they're in the furnace. Amen. And even the men that went to throw them into the furnace were slain by the great heat. And yet, the king saw something amazing. Remember what he saw? He saw the form of a fourth man there, like the Son of God. Amazing. Jesus was with them in the fire. How many know that when you're in the fire, Jesus is there with you? Hallelujah. And sometimes obedience to God is going to put you in the fire, but it's in the fire where we're purified and we're made holy. Amen. So God is good and God is working things out. Everything together for our good. So what happened? The king, once again, he praised the God of heaven. And he promotes these three guys. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, here he goes again. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap. He kind of likes that cut in pieces and ash heap thing, doesn't he? Because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Why did they get promoted? Because they trusted the Lord. Because they obeyed the Lord. They would not bow down. They would not sell out. How many know it's in the time of testing? A test is not always easy, right? And sometimes we're in a place where we have to make a decision. Are we going to obey the word of the Lord? Or are we going to sell out to please people? You know what? We are to obey every law of the land. Amen? We are to submit ourselves to those in authority over us in the land. We're supposed to be good citizens. Amen? Except when the law of the land contradicts the word of God. Because there's a higher law. And when they tell you you can't pray, that's a law, amen, that is not to be obeyed. Because we're under a higher authority. The God of heaven rules over the kingdoms of the earth. Amen? And if they tell you cannot, you know, speak the word of God, there's a higher authority. Amen? You can't share your faith, there's a higher authority. And sometimes, folks, it's going to cost us initially to obey the word of the Lord, to do what he tells us to do. When man says you can't do it, if God says do it, who are we going to listen to? And we have to be faithful to listen to his voice. Sometimes God is telling you just to be quiet. At other times, he's saying, don't, you know, do something foolish. Because sometimes he sends us on covert missions to kind of get into places. Are you with me? And work into those places so that you can reach the people that are in those dark places. Amen? And so we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to understand how the enemy works, and we need to listen to God and who to his advice, to his wisdom. Amen? Even when it comes to witnessing. How many know it's not always proper to talk to somebody about Jesus? Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. Amen? There are certain people that you don't share this message with because they're just going to throw it right back at you. Amen? They're going to reject it, and they're going to come after you. I believe that there comes a time, especially if you're in public speaking, that somebody's going to get upset no matter what. You just need to be faithful to do what God says. Amen? And sometimes you are called to somebody who's going to initially reject your message. Are you with me? That's going to get mad at you. That's going to be mad that you would dare to tell them that they can't continue to live the way they're living. Oh, but we don't want to offend anybody. We want to be politically correct. You know, we want to please and appease. And let's just all be tolerant and get along and make everybody like us. How many know that's not what we're called to? We're called to the cross. The cross merit means that I identify myself with Jesus and his mission outside of the city. Amen. Where he was mocked and he was crucified. Where he was rejected and he was despised of men. A man of sorrows. Amen. And we are to identify ourselves with him. At times we're going to pay a price because we were obedient to speak the word of God in a place where it was not popular. However, the time will come when even if that person rejects, and in some cases they persecute and put to death Christians, sometimes those same people that did that, later on that same word that was spoken to them came back to them, and this day they're saved because of that word. And so they decided, we're not going to bow down, we're not going to sell out. We're going to remain faithful to God, and God promoted them. And then Daniel steps up on the scene again. And the king has another dream in Daniel 4 and 4. And instead of calling on the Most High God, he turned again to his old familiar ways. And what did he do? He called on the magicians, the Chaldeans and the astrologers and the soothsayers. He went to his psychic hotline of the day. And so he's, again, God gives him a dream. And Daniel is given by the grace of God, the interpretation of the king's dream. And the dream was this, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 20, God shows him that there's a tree. And he said, the tree is this, what you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. He says, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but listen, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. There's conflicting interpretations of what the times mean, but most agree 7 years would pass over. So what he's saying is, this is what's going to happen, O king. You know, you're going to go through some stuff because of your attitude and your arrogance. And then he gives the interpretation right after that in verse 24. He says, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. So God's judgment did come just as was predicted. And what was the purpose? So that the king would understand that his power was not because of his own ability, his own wisdom. Amen? It was granted by God for him to be in that position. God's the one who exalts one king, amen, and brings another down. He is involved in the affairs of the kingdoms of this earth. He is a sovereign God over all the earth. Even Satan is at his bidding, folks. I believe that. I believe that Satan has to come and get permission. Amen. You read the book of Job. The Holy Spirit put that in there for a reason. So we need to understand that our lives are in the palm of his hand. Remember that no matter what you go through, your life is in the palm of his hand. It's not like God didn't see what happens or doesn't know what's going on. But God knows that there's a process for every one of us. And even when the enemy does something evil towards us, God always turns it around at the end for our good. Amen. He promised to do that. And there's a condition, folks, actually there's a medical condition where people actually in their mind, they think that they're oxen or they're animals. You know, there are connections even in paganism to, you know, animals and people. There are conditions. I can't remember the lepathrachy or something where people literally feel that they are becoming a wolf. You know, or an eagle or whatever the animal might be. But there's a condition where people believe that they're an ox in their mind, and they actually they bow their head and they walk and they look down and they will try to graze. I mean, these are actual cases. There's people that have fallen into this type of delusion, this mental illness. And so this is what happened to this king. Here's a king who, you know, he had this far-reaching authority, this power, and God humbles this guy. He brings him to a place where he's now just like an ox in the field with the dew of heaven on his body. It says that his hair became like eagle's feathers. It just grew out and like claws, eagle claws, because his nails just grew out. And he grazed like an ox. He was completely out of his mind. He was brought into the field to learn a lesson. He was brought into his wilderness to learn a lesson. God loved this man, and for him, it was going to take something of that nature to get a hold of him. How many know that he had several opportunities before to repent? Amen? And he initially had repented. He initially had said, yeah, he is the God of gods. Amen? He is the true Lord of all the kings, and yet he still was proud. He was full of himself, and he thought within himself that this is my great kingdom that I have set up for myself. And in verse 31 of chapter 4, it says, while the word was still in this king's mouth, as he was boasting about himself and his power, a voice fell from heaven and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you. Listen, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Sometimes we try to choose life for ourselves. Are you with me? A course for ourselves, a position or a title for ourselves. And God says, I'm the one, all right, who raises you up. Amen. And I'm also the one that can take you out. Amen. And so it's a matter of, Lord, whatever my call is, whatever my purpose is, the reason for which I was created, I just want to submit myself to that. I don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought to. I want to think soberly as you've given to me a measure of grace. Amen. To work together in the kingdom as part of the body of Christ, as members one of another. Amen. Working together for the king and for his purposes. So we want what God has. We want God to be the one who exalts us. We want God the one, amen, who brings us up to that place. Because if God exalts you, amen, he can keep you there. If we exalt ourselves, folks, come on. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And pride comes before destruction, doesn't it? So God is teaching this man a lesson, folks. And you know what? We can look at his life and say, you know what? I may not be a king over a kingdom, but maybe there's areas and idols in my heart, as we spoke earlier, that God wants to topple. God brought him into the wilderness so that he would topple the idols that were in their people's hearts, that they were depending on and leaning on Egypt and the ways of Egypt and the old ways. And Pharaoh wants to keep us tethered to him and to the old ways. Instead of trusting God, he wants us to kind of be halfway in Egypt and halfway out of Egypt. Are you with me? He says, it's okay, you can worship God, just worship God in Egypt. That's what Pharaoh was saying. Worship God in Egypt. No, we can't worship God in Egypt. We can't worship God and money, amen, or the world. We're going to worship God only, and we're going to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and then I will receive you. Amen. God says, come out from Egypt. Come out. Sever every tie. Break free. Go 3 days into journey into the wilderness. Amen. And so God took Nebuchadnezzar out of everything he was familiar with, everything that he had rule and power and authority over, and he humbled him. He became like an ox out into the field because he had to learn a lesson there. So this is the lessons from the field. Humble yourself and God will exalt you. You exalt yourself. Amen. God will humble you. And God loved Nebuchadnezzar. It's obvious that he was working in his life. And he didn't. He left a stump in the dream, remember? He left a stump. He says, in other words, I haven't completely severed you. I have to give you a little attitude adjustment first. Before you're ready to come back. I made sure one. Has anybody beside myself had an attitude adjustment? Attitude adjustments are good for us. They're painful, but they're good for us. And so this happened where he was driven into the wilderness, and he had to learn that God was the one who set up kings, that he didn't do it himself. Because he was boasting in himself and saying, look at this great kingdom that I have built for myself. We see a modern day example of this, don't we? Maybe a few. Where there was a man, a dictator, who thought he was going to be another king over Babylon. And he was enamored with himself. He was full of himself. And he boasted. And there's some others too. And it's a matter of time, folks. God's going to deal with them. But God uses them also as vessels or instruments for his purposes. Just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar. And it was God's purpose for him to be there for that time. Actually to be a chastising tool or chastening tool for Israel. So what are the lessons? It's in the wilderness that we learn that God is committed to us. Do you know that God is committed to you? Do you know that God doesn't take his eye off you? God is more committed to you than we are to him. How many know that God is the one who pursued you? first. You didn't pursue him. He pursued you. You wouldn't even come to know him unless God had pursued you. And when you know that it's the husband that looks for the bride. Amen? Traditionally so, even. Men chase women. It's kind of changed these days around a little bit, right? But Jesus had sought us out. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's in the wilderness that we understand that our understanding is not sufficient. The way that I understand things, God's ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. We need to understand that. Amen? And we cannot be wise in our own abilities. You know, God is bigger than our abilities. We can't trust in our own abilities. We can't put our trust in our own skills and our gifts. In the wilderness, you're brought into a place where no longer can you use the old tools that you were used to. God takes you to a place where he weans you off old dependencies. Come on. God blesses his people, and sometimes his people, they become prosperous and well off. And we all have a tendency when things are going really well in any way, shape, or form to forget God. Yeah. So God brings us into the wilderness to teach us that he is the one who created us, who sustains us, who provides, right? Who comforts, who gives us sight, vision, understanding. It's of him and not of us. We cannot trust in the things that we used to trust in the wilderness. When Israel was in the wilderness, they were taken out of their familiar settings, situation, things that they had, which was not very much, but they had trusted and they were familiar with the ways of the Egyptians. God says, I want you out. I want you separate. I want you to completely be done with that life that was. Because I'm going to teach you my ways here in this wilderness. Has anybody beside myself been going through some wilderness? You've been going through some things in this world, in this life, things that have happened, maybe even happened recently that kind of shook you and kind of made you ask the question, "What, God, what is going on? I've been doing all the right stuff, but then now I feel like I'm in this place in my life and in this wilderness in my life." And how many know it's in that place where the grace of God abounds to you? It's in that place where you're learning of his faithfulness. It's in that place where you're learning to hear his voice. And you're learning to depend upon the word of God. You're learning to depend, amen, not on the bread of this world, but on the bread of heaven, who is Jesus Christ. And he becomes your all in all. And you begin to know that he is your all-sufficient God. He is El Shaddai. He is the one that I really have need of. If I have Jesus, I have everything. Amen. If I have the Lord in my life, hallelujah, I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear about anything. God's trying to get us into a place where we don't worry anymore. He doesn't want us worrying anymore. Stop it. You don't have to know it all. God says, I want you to forsake your own understanding. Trying to figure me out. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Don't try to figure it all out on your own. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you don't understand what's going on in your life, you need to trust his heart. Trust the heart of God. Know the heart of God is always good for you. Good towards you. Trust his heart in those situations. And don't lean on your own understanding. But he said to do what? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you're doing, acknowledge him. He's trying to teach us to lean on him. It's in the wilderness that they had to depend on God for the manna. It's in the wilderness they had to depend on God for water, amen? For sustenance. It was God who warmed them at night. It was God who cooled them during the day. He was the comforter. He was going to prove to them that I am in love with you. I am a spouse to you, Israel. I am married to you. I'm not going to forsake my covenant with you. I'm going to take you into a place where I'm going to teach you how much I care about you. And sometimes when God is trying to teach us something, we don't understand it. And we get that flopped around. We think God is being unfair or cruel or unkind to us. No, God is trying to deliver us from ourselves. He's trying to deliver us from our ways, which are the ways of destruction, bringing us into a place where now we know that my life does not consist in anything except in Christ. He is my life. In the wilderness, we learn to trust the Lord. And when we enter the wilderness, we're leaning on ourselves and what we are used to. But when we come out, we're leaning on God. You hear that? When God takes us out and He brings us into the place of humility, we're trusting ourselves, folks. Let's face it. And so often, so many ways, it's just easy to trust ourselves. But God brings us into the wilderness because it's in that place where we learn to lean on Him. And when we're leaning on Him and when we're trusting on Him, then we are equipped and ready for the promise that He has. Are you with me? God has to get a people ready for what He has promised for His people. He has to develop us for what He has up ahead. What you're going through now is getting you ready for the glory that shall be. Are you with me? Here we have no continuing city, but we're looking for one to come. Amen? We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. How many know this is not our home? We're in the training ground or the dressing room of eternity. And God is getting a bride of people ready. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm going to finish with this, but when my wife and I've shared with many of you before, but when we managed an assisted living facility for a couple years, we saw so many people come and go. Their average age was 90. We had people from all different walks of life. People who lived a very meager, humble life and scraping by, and others who were very affluent and wealthy and had all the bells and the whistles, you know, all the toys of life. And yet they all ended up in the same place, in a small room with a bureau and a nightstand and a bed. Are you with me? Three hots in a cot and a place where now somebody else has to come on, take care of me, to feed me, to clean me, to whatever. And they come to a place of realization that whatever mattered in my life before really doesn't matter anymore. Amen? Because I realize that my life really was a vapor. I'm here today and I'm gone tomorrow. What really matters is, have I lived for the Lord? Have I given my life, amen, for the service of Jesus Christ in the days that He's given me on the earth? That's the great reward. Amen? There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. Hallelujah. Hopefully my guitar's going, but if other than that, 12 string, brother, yeah. You know, God has something better for us, doesn't He? And God blesses us. He does bless us here on the earth. But He also, with the blessing also comes responsibility. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your word, Your truth. Your truth sets us free, Lord. And Lord, we're learning to lean on You. We're learning to trust You. We're learning that You're faithful. Lord, that we don't have to look at our situation and worry. We just need to look at You because You're the answer. And whenever we're confronted or facing a situation or a problem, we just need to yoke up with You, to link up with You and say, Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to work this out, walk this out? We don't have to fear about the future. You're already there. You're the beginning and the ending. You're in the past and in the future. Lord, we don't have to worry about the future. You're already there. You're the joy that's waiting at the end. We're looking to You, Lord. You're at the finish line. You're the author and finisher of our faith. We know, my God shall make a way. Amen. He'll make a way in the wilderness. He knows the way through the wilderness. All I need to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Some of you remember that one? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine always, and all I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Hallelujah.